Fighters, it's time for the Thursday Q&A episode here on the Contractor Fight podcast. We take your questions and we answer them here on the show. Send your questions to help@thecontractorfight.com with the subject line podcast to get your questions in front of us. Tom and I will pick the questions that are the most relevant to the people here in the fight. You guys rock. Let's do this.
Fighters, before we dig into the Q&A episode, we see here on our end so many questions that come in about making more money. And I just want to give you guys a resource if you don't already have it. And it's our 50% gross profit sheet. All right, listen, the fastest way to put more money in your pocket right now in your business is to raise your gross profit. And we show you how to do that. So if you head to thecontractorfight.com/50, fill out your name and your email, you'll have instant access to this and you'll be on your way to making more money. So go grab that right now. Let's get on with the Q&A episode here today. Ladies and gentlemen, fighters around the world. You know, I've never done an intro like that, by the way. Sonny, you bring out the best of me. I'm here today. It's Tom Reed, Contractor Fight. And I'm here with Sonny Panero for some Contractor Q&A. What's up, brother?
What's up, brother? How are you?
I'm good. Man, we got people from all over. We got the UK, Wales. It's here. We got Canada.
What's up,
New Zealand. Gary? North Carolina.
All over.
Someone's at the gym, whoever that is. They didn't follow the directions on Facebook and do the thing where we could see their name.
That's Bubba.
That's okay. Is that Bubba?
Bubba's
at the gym. All right, Bubba. There you go. Guys, today, Sonny and I are going to bring some good stuff to you here today. And how we're going to do this, we have some in our free Facebook group. I put a post out, ask some questions, and whatever's in there as of right now, we're going to answer those, and I'm going to open a Q&A. So if you post a question in the Facebook group after now, I'm not answering it, okay, because we're going to burn through this. So
cut off.
It's the cutoff, and then we'll do a little open Q&A for those that are live on here. But a lot of stuff going on right now this summer, man. A lot of good stuff. We're getting ready for Mile High Profit Summit. We've Sonny, you've been interviewing people for the new Empire program for those doing over $1.5 million a year that want to kick some ass and scale their businesses. Launching here pretty quick. A lot of good stuff happening. So I'm going to kick this off. Michael, I'm not going to say last names, guys, in case there's stuff in any of these questions that people don't want me to say outside of the Facebook group. So I'm just going to say Michael asked how to generate leads effectively without social media. That one, you know, Sonny, I have to be honest. When I first read it, I thought it was how to generate leads effectively with social media because that's what I'm used to. And this one, I'm glad I reread it. But Michael, if you're on here, I'm going to start with this one because I've been camping on this one for a couple hours now, Sonny, and then you can fill in the blanks wherever you want here or the gaps. First of all, I think it's a mistake to not generate leads on social media. I'm going to be doing another live based on another post I did today about social media and how I go to contractors' profile pages. I had some time to kill. I was cooling off after working out and stuff, and I was flipping through our Facebook group, you guys, and I was blown away. Probably about 70% of those personal profiles went to had nothing about what they do for a living on their personal profile, and I think that's a big mistake. And there was a bunch of people like, oh, it's business and you keep business separate and all this other bullshit I'm not going to go into now. But let me just say, Michael, you need to be on social media. It's a gold mine. Now, to answer your question, how to generate leads without social media. The first thing that came to my mind, and guys, with all these questions on these Q&As, we don't always know the total context unless we know the person personally and work with them, okay? So I'm going to assume you got a kick-ass website that answers all your customers' questions and talks about pricing and weeds people out and all that other stuff. And so I'm going to assume you're creating tons of content that's relevant and that search engines are picking it up, Michael, and all the leads are just flowing in through your website because you are the expert in your industry and all that good stuff. So all that being said, I'm going to go with if I had one thing to pick, I couldn't use social media. And the website was up. And even if the website wasn't up, but if I had one thing to pick, it would be where I would build influencer relationships with people in my area. And guys, an influencer to me is somebody who stands in front of my ideal customer every single day of the week and sells them shit or designs stuff for them. And they need to know who I am. So when I was a painting contractor, it could be a home inspector. It could be a carpet installer. It could be a hardwood guy. It could be a GC like Sonny. It could be interior designers and realtors. And I did hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars a year easily just from influencers. It was like residual lead flow and jobs that would come in. Close rates were always higher. Gross profit was always way higher. And I think this is an area that most contractors are failing at miserably right now because they're relying too much on the digital shit. So I appreciate Michael's question here saying without social media, because I think we have to attack the whole field. And I think you should be online, obviously. I talk about that a lot. But for me, Sonny, it's building relationships, man. There's so many millions of dollars that are generated every year just from relationships. How about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the influences is huge. You know, just you can even go with, I mean, simple, like pay-per-click, right? So you got advertisement. So just general advertisement. Then you can even go, you can go old school advertisement. Considering how many people are actually using digital nowadays and putting all their money into that, they're actually getting a little bit better response, you know, with mailers and that sort of stuff locally. But from a commercial standpoint, I'm going to pound the pavement. There's nothing better in the commercial industry than calling up another general contractor or walking in the business of that influencer. Maybe it's a real estate office, maybe it's a, you know, another company, but that's the way I do it. I would just pound the phones and pound the pavement old school, you know, get in front of some people.
What's Sonny, if you're pounding the pavement, what are you saying to somebody if you're working the phones? Just curious what the Sonny Panero word track is.
Yeah, let's just say I'm a plumbing company and I'm looking for some new opportunities to bid on. And this actually works within the residential if you're doing work for a general contractor versus direct to customer, right? Because there's different types of contracting businesses. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna pull up the Blue Book, or I'm gonna pull up, you know, Yelp, I'm gonna pull up wherever my general contractors that I'm trying to call are listed online. And I'm gonna look for people that are doing the work that I'm gonna be able to help them with, right? So I'm just going to give them a call and I'm going to ask their person who handles estimating or is in charge of the bid process and let them know that we're a new company, we're growing, we have the ability to take on a little bit of extra work and we're just seeing what we could do to get on your guys' bid list. And that's just where the conversation starts, right? And you might get the owner, you might get someone in the office, and it normally takes a couple times to follow up. But there, as a general contractor, I'm begging for people to help me out right now. You know, so if anyone's looking for work and maybe they're struggling getting going in construction, trying to get consumers, because consumers are a little bit harder to, you know, you have to advertise, you have to go find someone who has a project, you know, but you can just open up the phone book and start calling general contractors all day long. Good way to get some, you know, general work going.
Love it. Fighters, so many contractors struggle to get their clients that they've done amazing work for to give them great reviews in a timely manner. And that's why I want to make sure that you are familiar with Nice Job. Adam wrote in and told us, he says, I started using them 7 days ago and they've increased my total reviews by 22% with 6 years worth of reviews. Wish I was using them 6 years ago. Makes me wonder how many reviews the business would have had by now if I did. All right. Nice Job takes the pain away from you collecting client reviews, and it really makes it simple with just a click of a button for your happy clients. So check out thecontractorfight.com/nicejob and take advantage of the opportunity you have to get kick-ass reviews.
Good stuff. Appreciate the question, Michael. Let's move on to Ben. Ben asks, you know, I'm going to let you handle this one all alone, Sonny. I'm just going to stay out of this one.
I need to know the question first.
Yeah, I'm going to ask it. You ready? Okay, here you go. What would you consider to be the most essential priorities of a company doing less than $1.5 million a year in revenue?
Oh, if I was doing less than $1.5 million, it's just execution. You have to do a really good job. You don't have as many opportunities as a bigger company to do a good job. So you have to just really do a great job on every single project. And that's gonna multiply over time because your customer is going to like you. They're going to refer you. They're going to give you a good Google review. All those things are the capital that you need to actually build your company with. So like starting out, and I know I might've been cheating there, but like just generally executing on everything really well, the best you can, just pouring into it, regardless of how much money you're making. You just have to have happy customers. And that's what I would do if I was small. And that's what I did, you know, to get where I was. A quick story.
Yeah.
Run an HVAC company. One of the companies that I did before started Panero Construction. We were doing HVAC and solar and a little bit of electrical work, but we had an HVAC customer call. It was a service call, $85. It was at a mobile home park, 55 and older community. The tech went out, standard call, sent the tech out, and the tech was like, "Hey, I don't quite know what's going on with this unit. Can't figure it out." Called my business partner at the time, and my business partner was like, "Okay, well, I'll come out and check it out." And guys, this is just a service call, right? Well, we got it completed. We got it taken care of. And this older lady that's about 75, you know, really enjoyed Anthony going out, the service tech and everything they did for what ended up being just a few hundred dollars at the end of the day. Well, within a few days, we got a call back in the office from the manager at a local high-end car dealership. Mm-hmm. And that manager was calling to say, "Thank you for taking care of my mom's mobile home heater," right? And guess what that turned into? That turned into like $1 million solar job that we did for the dealership. And this is, you know, you got your Kias and you got Toyotas and then you got Lexuses. And this is on the higher end dealership that we did some work for. So just that one service call turned into a huge project. And so that's how executing. That's like cleaning up the dust after you're done doing an electrical outlet. That's putting your trash away. That's not leaving a trace of anything in the customer form. Those are all ways to execute that turn into big projects eventually. And you never know where those clothes go.
I love that, Sonny. I'm sure everybody listening to this right now probably has a dozen or more stories of how they did something small. They took care of it and it turned into something big. And for all of you that are commenting, because you didn't follow directions on Facebook about how to get your name to show up, I don't give a fuck if you care if my dog's barking or not, because I would have to go upstairs right now and deal with them and nobody's home. And I'm not going to do that because I'm here. And it's enough. It's driving me crazy more than it's driving you crazy. So fucking stop reminding me. All right. Anyway, it's probably Bubba, isn't it? Is it Bubba? I don't even know. It's okay. Matt asked a question here. Two-part question. 1A, culture development. What are a couple steps to take to develop a great culture? And 1B, once you've developed the culture you want, what are the steps to take to keep that culture thriving? I like this question. It's a little higher end, higher level question, right?
Yeah, and, you know, Matt's diving into this too, since we know Matt and the work he's putting in here. So that's awesome. Good, great question.
Yeah, so I had jotted down three things right off the top of my head earlier when I'd seen this. And so I'll share them. Sonny, you add to them and maybe we can vamp on these a little bit.
Yeah,
I think, guys, it's you got to have a clear vision of how you want to show up in the world as a company first, right? And you got to have clarity around that vision. So to me, that's number one, is you got to identify what you want this company to look like, feel like, taste like, smell like, all that stuff. Second thing is open, honest, brutally honest communication with your team. There's far too many owners. And I've worked with people like this. And I've been part of things in the past where the unvarnished truth wasn't always told to the team. And I think that really hurts the team. Okay. And I think it hurts the culture. And then we can dig into that more later. And I don't mean like outright lies, but like, "Hey boss, how's the schedule looking?" "Well, things are spotty. We got a few things in the wings." You know what? If you don't have anything, say, "We don't have shit." All right. So here's a list of your past customers, crew leader. Call your past customers and fucking call them and do a warranty call and let's get some work kicked up. All right. Like, I'm a big believer, man, of everybody in the company, at least crew leaders and above and things like that, foreman, whatever you guys want to call them, sharing the weight, sharing the load and feeling the pressure. And I think, and I've done this, I'm just owning my shit here too. I've done this as a parent where sometimes I don't say things as direct as I need, believe it or not, with my kids, because I'm still trying to protect them in certain ways when what they really need is the truth. And so I have so much to say on that. And then the third thing I had, Sonny, that was top of mind today was you must be massively committed to upholding the standard that you set forth, you know, or else you're going to get a culture of chaos. I mean, how many of you guys live on this right now, type in the box, have a policy of somebody being late or not turning in a time card or whatever it is, and you let it slide, and then you let it slide again. I know I did many, many times for the years, and it did nothing but cause crazy chaos. And I think so many people are like, I don't want to be a hard ass. It's really hard to find people and this and that. And guys, this isn't about being a hard ass. This is about being somebody who has integrity. If you say, Sonny, I'm going to send you home if you're late again, you know, then you better send the guy Sonny home when he's late again. Okay. And you better follow through. Otherwise, down the road, and I dealt with this when I had to fire seven guys in 20 minutes on a job site once, I had created this toxic culture where everybody did whatever the hell they wanted to do because I was a total pushover and I was too nice. And so I think we can be firm. I joke when I say this in the Marine Corps, would say he's firm, but he's fair. He's hard, but he's fair. And that was an inside joke in the Marine Corps with us, but it's really what it is. Like, I think we just need to be consistent, and being fair is really doing what you said you would do. Okay. So it's, and the standard applies across the board. So those were the first three things that came to my mind. What would you add, buddy?
So I like the two that you had. It starts with a vision. You have to know kind of where you're going, and you have to have somewhat of a purpose, right? And then you kind of, I'm going to kind of fill in the gaps here. But the other thing I liked is you have to set the standard. You have to be an example of it. If you're not an example of what you're saying, it's never come to fruition. And you got to communicate that. So like as a business owner, sometimes, you know, you're taking advantage of a couple different things. Maybe you're, you know, taking your kids to school more often because you're somewhat successful, but you need to communicate, but that's what you're doing, right? It's like, hey, I've been doing this stuff for a little while. I'm doing these things instead of you just not being around, right? So you just got to be careful. So you got to set the example, but you also have to communicate that. So those were just, I agree with those two things that you mentioned, but here's a couple tips. If you're just getting started with like implementing a culture within your company, you got to know where you want to go, and then you need to share that with them. So that's the communication part, but you have to do it at their level. You know, they're not thinking Lamborghinis and, you know, mansions, right? Or millions of dollars in the bank. What they're thinking is, hey, a new truck one day, you know, maybe buying a house, right? Or whatever it could end up, just not being in debt. Like there's, you got to meet them where they're at with how your vision ties to them. Another thing that I do, I started doing about a year ago, based on one of our mentors that we both know, Tom, you know, I send out messages to my team and they're all based on the core values of the company. So I created core values a few years ago, and then every single day, so own our crap, get oxygen, positive peace, all those are ones that we coach on. But within like Panero Construction, I have five core values, and those five core values are ones that I send messages out daily to. And this just gets them exposed to it, because like our framers, they don't know about vision and, you know, being on coaching calls and stuff like that. They're just, they don't read books. They're not doing anything for self-development. So we have to meet them where they're at. And so part of it's just starting communicating to them in a way where they start thinking about these sort of stuff. So working hard, showing up, you know, doing all these things. So coaching based on your core values is a big thing. Just getting them sort of exposed to it and implementing that process. You can't just go from 0 to 100 overnight. You know, you'll get a ton of pushback. You won't get any buy-in. They won't understand it. They'll be confused. You know, we know this stuff because the people we follow, you know, we're following David Goggins and, you know, Ed Milet, and they're talking about high level stuff. Our guys are not thinking like that. So we kind of have to like not dumb it down, but simplify it for them. So that messaging gets done out. And then another thing that I do is one-on-one meetings. So I meet with my team members one-on-one quarterly, and we talk about, you know, where they're at in life and where they're at in business. And that's where you become firm but fair, right? And those types, you can kind of call those out. So that's helped with culture for me. Huge.
Well, and that whole one-on-one thing, man, you know, if the only time we're ever sitting down one-on-one with somebody is to rip them a new one, that's a problem, you know? And so guys, we have to, I'm actually talking deep into this at Mile High in September about the secret ingredient to building a stronger culture. And guys, it's rooted in showing how much you care and how much you love people. Okay. And I'm going to go deep into it, and it's going to be pretty powerful. But like if Sonny doesn't know that I truly have his back, right, then he's going to have much harder time when I have to point something out and coach him on something. Right? If he's an employee or whatever it is. So, you know, you guys, you got to invest in your people. You have to spend time with your people. And then I think the way that you deliver it is also huge. Like a lot of us, Sonny, man, we don't deal with stuff when we should deal with it. And then it festers, it gets bigger, and then we have an explosion. And we're, I mean, contractors are notorious, self-included here through the years, you know, losing my shit on the job site or something towards somebody when all, and what I learned through the years was it would be something like, hey, Joe, man, you got a minute? Yeah. I'd pull my side and go, hey, are you good? You don't seem yourself lately. Like that was a phrase I used all the time where I'm calling him out and he'd be like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, I don't know. You've had a couple callbacks in the last few weeks and just haven't seemed to be on top of your game, man. What's going on at home? Are you okay? Is everyone okay? See, I'm approaching it from a point of I care, not just I think he's a shithead. And that's right. Where I think a lot of guys go wrong. And the last thing on this, you guys, reward the behavior you want more of. That is huge. A lot of times we rip somebody for having a callback, but we don't pat them on the back in front of the team for not having a callback in a month or whatever it might be. Or if you got somebody who's late, who's habitually late, and all we do is point it out, how about pointing it out when he's on time and give him a high five and go, man, I appreciate you getting here today. All right. So those little tiny things.
What I love about that is you can simplify that a little bit. And all you have to do is have FaceTime. You just have to have FaceTime with these guys. Like your employees want your attention just as much as your kids or your wife, you know, at the end of the day. So understanding that if you're busy and just rolling and you're like, hey, you guys got this, that is actually sort of a negative thing when you don't talk to them. Right. And so when I go to job sites, I have a day bookmarked in my week that's just going to visit job sites only to take pictures and high five and give hugs. Like that's literally, I'm at that point in my leadership where that's like part of my job is just to like give FaceTime. And it's really hard to do, but you don't have to start where I'm at. You just have to start by like when you show up to job site, spend 5-10 minutes like talking about sports or what's going on in their lives. That's the first step. And then the second step is, you know, being cognizant of what positive, you know, mentions that you're talking about as well as the negative stuff, right?
Big time, man. Good stuff. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, everybody, appreciate you hanging with us here today. We're going to wrap up this episode of the Q&A Contractor Fight episode with Tom and Sonny. Appreciate y'all. Give us a rating, give us a review, and we'll catch you guys next time on the fight. Hey, fighters, hopefully you got some value today from the Q&A episode and that you learned something that you can apply in your business. If you have a question, send an email to help@thecontractorfight.com. And in the subject line, put the word podcast and we will get that question. We'll answer it on air for you. And also don't forget to share this with another contractor. Give us a review on iTunes, wherever you listen to this. Super appreciate you hanging out with us here today. You guys rock. We got to roll. We're out.